All right, Mike. We are on our way to Rossville, Georgia for night two of the Scenic City Invitational.
That's right. It's a wrestling road trip, Patrick. We are en route. So we're kind of documenting today as an adventure to find indie wrestling out in the country. Basically, we're really in Georgia. We're talking about up in the mountains. All of North Georgia is all mountains. So we're headed to a higher elevation to find some good ring action.
Yes, and you know, we have a pretty cool card with the the second round. We have Jimmy Rave, who we know from here from Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Moose is going 1-1 against Kongo Kong.
That's
the one I'm excited.
Yeah, Moose is probably like, who do you? So in this of the second round singles matches that we're going to be seeing, and then I assume that'll go on to a third round, and then they'll crown a champion tonight. Or a winner of the tournament.
Right.
So, of the second round, I think the big names are Moose, obviously, coming from ROH, and I think he's affiliated with GFW right now and everything. A lot of people are behind Moose. Jimmy Rave, who has a background in TNA and ROH and is a big name in Atlanta right now in the Atlanta main event. And I think Gunner from TNA is also in that second round.
Yeah, he's going against Ace Rockwell.
Okay, all right. So to me, I think those are probably the three big names that have made it to the second round is Gunner, Moose, and Jimmy Rave.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's gonna be cool show, I think. We also have Corey Hollis, who's a Georgia favorite,
right,
against Jason Collins.
Okay.
Ace Rockwell is going against Gunner.
Right.
The other Gunner Miller.
That's a local guy, right?
Yeah. He's more in the indie scene. He's going against Jimmy Rave.
Now, do you think he's Gunner Miller all the time, or is he Gunner Miller on a show where Gunner is also appearing?
I think he's Gunner Miller.
He's Gunner Miller all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're headed up to Rossville, which is about an hour and a half to 2 hours up into the North Georgia Mountains. So it's about as close to Tennessee as you can get and still be in Georgia.
Right.
So it's a wrestling road trip. We're going out. We're looking for good wrestling. Patrick, let me ask you this. You're not just a WWE fan. Neither am I. We're both wrestling fans. We see indie wrestling
right. When
we have the chance. What was your first experience going to like non-television or WWE wrestling, like just indie, low end of the total pole indie wrestling?
I think I think it may have been, if I remember correctly, 8 p.m. on October 24th, 2014.
Okay.
When I saw my first ever Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment show.
Okay, so your first exposure to indie wrestling was AWE.
Yes. As far as being in as a viewing customer, in the arena or gym or whatever.
All right. And so, what was that experience like? Like, where was the show? What did you expect going in? And then, what was your experience of your first time out at indie wrestling?
Well, it was at the at a gym in Canton.
Okay.
You've been there,
right?
It was pretty much what I expected.
It's like a little kind of rundown, somewhat restored building, gravel parking lot.
It's an old gym.
Not a lot of lighting outside on your way.
Definitely have my finger on the panic button.
Really?
But just in case.
Because you don't know what you're walking into.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, not jewelry free.
Uh-huh. Smart
So
man.
It's kind of like, I go in. Okay, so the gym, you know, there's a little smell to it. You can tell it's worn out. There's just the ring, seats around, and then, you know, 50, 60 people, whatnot, and, it's just a bunch of people who are having fun. And I think my biggest thing that I got out of it was just the interaction between the fans and the wrestlers. The wrestlers coming in, just, there weren't any, barriers, So it's kind of like, okay, you can high-five your fans, interact with them, throw insults back and forth. So I thought that was a different feel.
Okay.
And I thought that was interesting. You're actually part of the show.
Well, it's kind
of
like when you go to Raw or SmackDown or even a WWE house show, they're going to interact with the crowd, but you can't yell at them and they hear you. It's not an interaction with you. When you go to an indie show, especially smaller indie shows with smaller crowds, like if you yell an insult at the wrestler, he may whip around and yell back at you.
Right.
You know, you may... There's there's sort of that one-on-one sort of like cheering and jeering and things like that you just don't get at the bigger shows.
Right.
I think I'm like you. I've only started going to indie wrestling, live indie shows within the last year. I think that my first one was not AWE, though. AWE was like probably the second or the third indie show I've been to.
So what was your first experience?
Well, the first one that I went to, I only even started... See, I always thought of myself as a wrestling fan, and now I have perspective to know I was only a WWE fan, and I became a wrestling fan, because I started enjoying non-WWE wrestling. And I was kind of in a place where I'd been in a long relationship for several years, and then it ended. And I was in this position where, like, I didn't have enough to fill up my weekends. You know what I mean? Like, you're single again, and you spend all your weekends, you know, with you know, your significant other. And then you don't have that anymore, and you're like, Friday and Saturday night, you're trying to come up with things to do. And so I found a Facebook group that was for indie wrestling in Georgia, and promoters would, like, post their match cards and everything. And I kind of realized, like, I had a free weekend. I was trying to figure out something to go and do so I'm not sitting at home, you know, thinking about my ex. And I'm looking through this group, and I'm looking through the posters, and I find one that's, like, it's about an hour 15 or so outside of Metro Atlanta. And come to find out, that's where most of the indie wrestling in Georgia is. It's outside of the metro area.
Yes.
It's, you know, like, the closest you can get is kind of an hour to an hour 15, hour and a half outside of the Atlanta area. And so I just said, screw it, I'm going to go. I went by myself. It was a show that was in... It was in the Department of Health of a little county out to the west of Atlanta, and this Department of Health facility had a big, like, truck bay in the back of it, and so it was just this open, you know, concrete area where they set up a ring and they put some folding chairs around it. The big name of the event was Robert Gibson, who was one half of the Rock and Roll Express. And his picture on all of the promotional stuff was, like...
From the 80s.
Him back in the 80s. And then you get there, and he's sitting... Like, the Crypt Keeper is sitting behind his gimmick table, you know? And he's, like, bald, and has one eye is bugged out and weird. And, you know, he's still wearing the old rock and roll trench coat thing.
Right, right.
Like, he's still hanging on. That was their big draw. And the show was not... It was not good. It wasn't good. A lot of the guys were out of shape, and there were a few interesting acts. I think Tommy Pettarelli was on that show, because you see him at a lot of shows around Georgia, and he's a guy that knows what he's doing. He knows how to bring the heat.
Right.
That was great. Robert Gibson actually wrestled in a 6-man tag at the main event. And I'll tell you this: like, I just got done.
No, Ricky Morton.
No.
Okay.
No. And so here's the thing. I just got done burying Robert Gibson, but here's what my experience, what happened at the show. In the 6-man tag of the main event, he was the best guy in the ring. There was, like, a showmanship that he still had, you know, that the other guys just didn't, sort of a crispness to it. And so, like, he still came out, like, shirtless and everything, and he was rough to look at. But when the match started, it's like, holy crap, he still got it.
Hey,
you know that. And so that, you know, and I met a couple people, and that was great. And that was my first experience. And that's kind of what indie wrestling started out for me, is, like, I had free nights on certain weekends, and I was trying to fill the hours, you know. And I would hit up these Facebook groups, and I would just look at match cards and figure out what was the closest show. And from there, I started to figure out, you know, that's how I found out, you know, about Chip Day, he's a guy that's wrestling out of my hometown, you know, and I'm a big fan of his now. And I mentioned Tommy Pettarelli and just other guys that you see around these shows around Georgia that I started to get behind. And now, at a lot of indie shows, if I'm looking at match cards, I recognize a lot of the names, and I'm like, oh yeah, there's like 6 or 7 people that I recognize, and I kind of want to see wrestle on this show.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's kind of how it goes, is you give indie wrestling a try the first time, and it's almost like tuning into Raw for the first time, is that over time, if you keep tuning in, you figure out who the characters are, you figure out who you're a fan of, and your enjoyment kind of builds from there.
Right. And, you know, I think in my sense, like, you know, it's important to appreciate and know about indie wrestling,
yeah,
and what's going on, because think about it. Everybody knows Daniel Bryan. Everybody,
yes,
knows Seth Rollins. Everybody, you know, knows Dean Ambrose. But nobody knows Bryan Danielson,
right,
Tiger Black, or John Moxley, right?
It's kind of a sliding scale, because you see these guys when they get to the main event in WWE and you're a big fan, and then you start hearing, like, oh, you know, Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins come from Ring of Honor.
Right.
So that kind of makes you wonder, like, well, what's Ring of Honor like? And then you check out Ring of Honor, and then you figure out, you know, oh, so-and-so comes from, you know, from the Kevin Steen and El Generico come from PWG. And so then you start checking out PWG and see what's going on there. And then you start to realize, oh, you know, Trevor Lee from PWG was also wrestling at a small show near my hometown. And then you go check that out. And then you see the guys that are wrestling near your hometown.
Right.
And then it flips, because then you start to wonder, which of these guys am I going to see in the main event
right.
at Raw? And to me, that's what it was, this sliding scale that I sort of slid down and down and down and down until I actually had local wrestling in front of my face. And then I start wondering, like, man, am I going to see Chip Day at WrestleMania one day?
Right.
And when that happens, I'm going to know that I was a fan of his back when.
Right.
You know, if I buy his t-shirt now, I'll have that t-shirt when he's a major star. And I'll have, you know,
when he's
I'll be that guy that was the big fan of Bryan Danielson way
yeah.
back when he was wrestling, you know, I'm sure around in Washington or Texas or locally, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure we're all looking forward to the day when Chip Day is in Italy and his name will be Daniel Chipper.
Right.
Right.
What's Daniel Chipper doing in the Impact
right.
Zone?
Although I think we may will be like, God darn, we can have two Daniels here.
Yeah, I know. And then we're like those obnoxious marks that you see like at ringside at Raw wearing like their old Bryan Danielson shirts, and you're like, oh man, what pretentious douchebag. And I got my Chip Effin' Day shirt on, you know, and everybody thinks I'm that like pretentious mark that refuses to call him Daniel Chipper, you know. It's like, oh, I've never gotten used to calling him that. I still think of him as Chip Day.
Right.
Those guys you meet at Raw that just everybody hates.
And see,
will be those guys.
I also think that there's a difference between, you know, the guy. I mean, okay, a lot of people call, you know, people are smart fans and they
right.
know all these things. And, you know, and sure, a lot of people can consider me one of those guys because I know a lot of history and all of
right.
the background. But there's a difference about between knowing all of this and using it to put yourself over as a fan, make you sure, like, oh, I'm so intelligent, I'm above this.
Yeah.
And it would give me permission to make fun of this. Well, no. I am a student of this. I have learned all this information, but I don't mock it.
Right.
And I don't, you know, it's kind of like, there's that type of fan that knows all the information,
right.
but they still are able to appreciate.
Well, you think about, like, I mean, there's certain, like, WWE fans that have, like, these Twitter accounts that people know who they are, like Brock Lesnar guy.
Right.
You know, or Sign guy, or the clown guy that was dating Mick Foley's daughter at one point or something. Like, there's these guys that, like, try to get themselves over. Like, my understanding is Brock Lesnar guy is a huge douchebag.
He's,
like, constantly trying to get himself over and, like, want to take pictures with people. Whereas, like, Sign guy, apparently everybody loves. Like, he understands. Like, when you see him standing next to somebody at the barricade because he's in the shot, he'll, like, freak out like he, you know, like it's real. You know, he won't be like, oh, look at me, I'm Sign guy. You recognize my blue shirt and my red hat.
Right, right.
And see, I worry about that a lot. I don't ever want to be the pretentious, smarky fan that, like, tries to get myself over. And I worry that I come too close to that sometimes when I'm at a live show. Because, like, I'm a trained actor, right? I have a theater degree. I've been on stage. I've performed in front of crowds. And I understand, like, when I would go and see plays or musicals that my friends were in, I identified with them because they need, like, responses from the crowd to make the show work.
Right.
They need laughter when there's a joke, and they need, you know, they need a certain amount of response. And there's nothing, as an actor, there's nothing worse than performing on stage in front of just a dead crowd.
Right.
So I would be the guy at my friend shows that, like, I'm laughing when there's a joke, and I start the standing ovation, and I start the claps on the clap lines, and, you know, to give them what they need because I know what it's like to be up there. When I go to a live indie show and they're right there in my face, I try really hard to, like, cheer the good guys and boo the bad guys, because wrestling, so way more than, you know, than theater, is incredibly dependent on response from the crowd. And I want to be sure that, like, the people in the ring have that. And I want to help them have that as much as I can. If they need someone to boo them, I'll boo them as hard as I can. If they need someone to get behind them and cheer and start the clap at, you know, at the hot part of the match, then, like, I want to, you know, make sure that happens. And I worry sometimes that, like, that it looks like I'm trying to get myself over doing that.
Yeah.
I'm really doing that. And I'll get into a shouting match with somebody in the ring, and then it'll move on, and then I'll think, like, oh my God, was that me trying to get myself over? Is that me trying to be a part of the show? Like, maybe I should just sit here and be quiet, you know? I worry about that a lot. But, I mean, to me, that's part of seeing like live indie wrestling right in your face. You know, you're not 20 feet back behind a barricade looking at the ring under all the bright lights. It's like 5 feet in front of you, and these guys, like, you know, they'll sweat on you if you're sitting in the right place. You know, it's right there in front of you.
Right.
And there's not really anything else like that to me. It's that level of interplay between the crowd and the guys who are performing. It's unlike being at a concert. It's unlike being at a play. It's unlike being at a basketball game or a football game or something like that. There's really nothing else like it. And you just don't know what that's like until you actually go to indie wrestling and give indie wrestling a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing is just being able to. I think we all know wrestling's not real, right?
Right.
And I mean, but
well, the things about it that are real are not the outcomes or the stories, you know?
Right.
The emotions, the athleticism, the dedication that it requires, all of that is the part of it that's real.
Right. So my point is we know it's not real, but allowing yourself to just sit down.
Suspend that disbelief.
Right. And just take in what you're seeing and enjoy it for what it is, and let the wrestlers and the performers make you want to believe that this is real.
Yes.
And, you know what I'm saying? And I
allow your suspension to, or your disbelief to be suspended.
Right.
Don't fold up your arms and just refuse to get into it.
Yeah. No, and it's not real, but wow, that was so good. You know, hey, it could have been real.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of fans don't get that, in my opinion.
I do too. And I mean, sometimes it's hard to get that until you go to like a small local show and you really see what wrestling is like when it's distilled down to its core, where it's really just a ring and a couple of guys and a couple of people watching. So sometimes that's what it takes to really understand what wrestling is.
Yeah. So with all that being said,
so we're gonna check back in throughout the day. We're gonna kind of document our experience.
Yeah,
this is Michael and Patrick road tripping to Rossville to find good wrestling.
Absolutely, and Cindy City Invitational. I'm really looking forward to night two.
What is the promotion that's putting? Is this
Empire Wrestling?
Is this Empire Pro Wrestling?
Yeah,
okay.
Empire
in North Georgia.
Right,
check them out on Facebook.
Yeah, it'll be in their arena. And, of course...
Is this a dedicated arena that's just theirs?
Yeah, it's the
that's
entire
really
arena
cool.
I think I hear is called.
That's really cool.
Like
you don't
that.
You don't find that at a lot of these smaller promotions.
And that's important. You know what I mean? That's part of what made the ECW what it was
at
one point. Is that you had this bingo hall that you called home.
That
you know?
hometown
I
mean, base, hometown crowd.
Right. You know, Anarchy has a place here in Georgia. And that's their place. They always go there. And that's the one place, you know, they fill in and, you know... Fills up.
Well,
and,
this may be a good night for me to kind of keep my mouth, you know, a little more shut and kind of get a feel for how this crowd and these wrestlers actually interact, you know?
Absolutely.
Kind of take part in it.
Right. And so like Mike said, you know, this is only the beginning of the trip, and we'll be checking in a little bit later and throughout the night and after the show, and hopefully
interview some of the guys, maybe talk to the promoter.
But hopefully what we can do is, you know, make you feel like you're also part of this road trip with us, and you know, definitely check out more indie wrestling. So we'll talk to you guys in a bit. So we have arrived earlier than expected. I don't know what we expected since we kind of left early,
yeah.
But we are now going to stop by and get something to eat here at the gas station. Well, we're not going to eat at the gas station, but
we're going to ask for a cool local place to eat, and we're going to do it. We're going to try to record it.
See how it sounds
secretively. So we'll see if this is actually usable.
Right, but no one that is listening to this.
Are you recording video right now?
Yeah.
Is this video?
Right.
Oh, okay.
But no one that is listening.
This is going to be very obvious.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Well, no one that is listening to this right now will know. We'll be able to see the interaction, but
right.
You know,
right.
You'll be able to
I'll
listen.
I'll do the talking.
And
you try to record things, and just don't, right. Don't get us like caught.
No hablo inglés.
See, you see how like obvious this is that you're recording this, right?
Okay,
now.
Well, stop saying it. Now I'm right behind you.
Like, so you gotta poke at the screen, like.
Okay.
Passing through town, we're trying to kill an hour before a wrestling show. Is there a cool place to eat around here, like something kind of local, or is it all pretty much chains and things like that? Is there like a local diner in town or something?
You know anything good to eat around here, Jane? That you can go in and eat? Besides McDonald's?
Yeah.
Well, that chicken place down there is awful good. If you can get that grilled chicken down there, I know it's Kentucky Fried Chicken. You might not want to eat that.
Yeah.
If you get grilled, I've been down there the last 2 days.
Really?
Green beans, everything's real good.
Any kind of like a local diner or anything in town, or anything that's only here?
Waffle House is the local diner here.
Waffle House is the local diner everywhere. But
you have to probably go to Chattanooga, don't you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's on another, 4 or 8 miles.
Okay.
It's 8 more miles.
There's a little Hibachi place.
Really?
Hibachi.
Yeah, I mean, it's down that way.
Me and my fiance eat it a lot.
Really?
I'm trying to think of how it's like right by Liberty Tax and that little shop there.
What about that? The place there across from Arby's, that Chinese food. They sell Chinese food. Got a little picnic table out there right next to the ice cream.
Oh, yeah?
I've never ate there.
Okay.
No, I've never eaten there.
Well, we'll go check those places out. I really appreciate
it. There's a place down here on the left you can go eat.
Oh, yeah?
What's that place called? A Chinese place.
Kobe or something like that.
Kobe.
All right.
KOB down here. I think it's a pretty good place to eat.
I appreciate it. What's your name?
Just go about a mile, maybe. A mile on the left, or 2 miles, something like that.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Okay, gotcha.
So I think we may find a place sooner than later.
Yes.
We got a Chinese place that we may be able to
The answer is that no, there's not a cool local diner around here.
Nope.
But there are a couple of cool. There's a KFC. And there's a couple of Chinese places.
Right. So we're gonna check one of those out, I guess.
Yeah. Let's check it out. Let's take Gene's advice and see if it's good. We'll check back in.
Absolutely. All right. Well. We are here in the Empire.
We're back at Empire
Arena.
Is what we are. We got here about an hour ago and found out that we were here an hour before any of the wrestlers. And so we went and found the local Mexican restaurant. Now we're back.
So, yes. Yeah, so
we're back.
After our adventures trying to find a place to eat and getting well fed, we are now about to go in. But we want to just...
We found the Empire Arena. We got fans starting to line up outside. We got wrestlers on their way in. It's about to break off up here.
So we're gonna go. But what is you kind of briefly mentioned it, but we know the guys in the who are still in the tournament.
Yes.
So the way this is gonna work out is, you know, 4 matches are gonna happen. The 4 winners are gonna be in a 4-way match.
Right.
As a finale. Who do you think from these 8 guys do you favor?
Gosh, man, that's a good question. You know, I'd say that I think Moose has been out there competing against some of the best in the world right now, and been holding his own. So I think Moose might be the guy to beat out of the remaining entrants.
Well, you read my notes because I was about to pick him up too.
Oh, you're about to say Moose?
Pick.
Oh,
this
wow!
Is my pick.
All right, I take it back. I think Jimmy Rave's going to take it home. Jimmy Rave has been out there competing against some of the best in the world, and I think Jimmy's really the guy to beat tonight. So I think that we're going to see Jimmy Rave taking it home.
So basically, for him, fill in the blank any wrestler's name. And the story will go the same.
I think Ace Rockwell, really, has been out there competing against some of the best in the world. And I think that he's probably going to be the guy to beat in the tournament tonight.
You don't think Gunner has a chance to win this thing?
Who is Gunner? Nobody knows who Gunner is.
Well, you know.
You're talking about Gunner Miller, right?
No. TNA's formerly TNA's Gunner.
Oh, what's TNA?
Well, you know, that's...
I'm a wrestling fan. What's TNA?
It's totally no action.
Or at least in September, it's going to be...
Right. So we're about to go in and...
We're going to try to. We don't... We're here early. We're supposed to be able to go in there. We're hoping to interview some of the guys. We might get thrown out.
If we do, we're going to document it.
Security is out. Security looks rough, man. Security looks rough and tumble.
Security looks like they have some miles on them.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's all right.
You go low, I'll go high.
Yeah, there you go. That's not so fancy. Well, right. I don't think I can go any.
Yeah, so we're gonna see if we can get in here, and we'll check back in.
All right. Let's see you guys later.
All right, so we are inside of the Empire Arena.
We are back. We have been through security, and we're now in the Empire Wrestling Arena. Here we go. We're seeing some of the guys warm up. We see Moose here getting ready. Chip Day looks like he's going to be on the card tonight. Gunner's walking around here. It's very cool to kind of see these guys getting ready to do battle tonight. This is a great spot that Empire has set up. I mean, really. What I hear is that they can fit about 400 people in here, and it's all seated, you know. This is a very, very, very... this is probably the coolest just indie wrestling arena facility that I've seen so far. It's a dedicated facility. It's a warehouse building. There's a concessions area. There's a tech booth. There's a backstage area. This is a top-notch ring they got right here. There's a barricade. You don't see this at every kind of local indie show that you go to, but here it is in a small town in North Georgia. This is really something to see. Patrick, what do you think?
I think definitely a really cool vibe. I have no doubt this place is going to get packed. Mm-hmm. And the atmosphere, I can only feel, excited about it. And I think that, you get you get the intimacy being, so close. And, but at the same time, it also gives you that pro wrestling kind of sports entertainment that people like.
Absolutely. This is right in your face. I mean, it's there's action just almost from wherever you are. There's action just 10 to 20 feet in front of you, and you're not accustomed to seeing it right here in front of you live in person. I mean, this is something you only get at smaller local shows. And I've been talking about smaller local shows, but I mean, like, this is not going to be a small show. I mean, this is a legit arena that Empire has set up here, and I'm deeply impressed by this. This is amazing to see.
It's not just you see a couple buddies get put a wrestling show in somebody's garage.
Right.
It's actually a big deal.
Ace.
He's doing Ace, Patrick.
Ace, I'm Mike.
We are now meeting Ace Rockwell here because we are recording live.
That's right. I don't mean to break you guys up.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
Ace, what are your thoughts on the show tonight? Are you ready to go?
As ready as I'm going to be.
Who are you facing tonight?
I think it's this guy right here.
We went over this in the car, Mike.
I was driving trying not to crash the car, all right? How do you feel about your prospects tonight? Do you think you're going to come out on top?
Yeah.
As a pro wrestler, you got to always think you're going to come out on top. Right. I've never beat him.
Really?
I've wrestled him 3 times, never beat him.
Not that many people can say they beat him, though.
Not many people. Tonight could be my night. Maybe 4 times a charm.
Absolutely.
Maybe. You find that 4-leaf clover.
Hey, he's going to have a bad night eventually. Why not tonight,
Eventually he's going to have one. And I hope tonight's his night to have a bad night.
Well, I think you're not the only one. But, you being that this is kind of like hometown for you, you're, involved here. It's kind of like added pressure for you, you'd say, to come out and, win it all.
Honestly, a lot of people say, if you're the home football team, there's a lot of pressure to perform well in front of your fans. As a pro wrestler, it's a little different because they know what's expected of you. You're in the hometown. They know what you're going to give because they have seen you. I think it's different when you go somewhere, especially for Gunner tonight. I think he was here last night.
Mm-hmm.
They were warm to him. They're going to be warmer to me. I think when you go in a different locker room, a different building, you feel like you have to prove more.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, I think that speaking as a fan, when you see a big name guy coming into your town, coming into your backyard, there's something to be said about getting to see that guy live and in person. But when he's going up against your guy that you feel like is your wrestler that you're behind, you kind of want to see him take the loss. You want to see your guy step up and take down the big name.
Sure, absolutely. You know, all kidding aside, man, I'm not one of these guys that's going to come on here and I hate this guy, I hate that guy. I'm not that guy. I like Gunner. We're actually really good friends. He lived with me for 2 years when we lived in Duluth, Georgia. He's a great friend. And we've had competitive matches. I'm sure tonight's going to be no different. I do hope the outcome's a little different for me.
I think there's going to be a lot of people here at the show tonight. They're going to be wishing the same thing.
Yeah, man. I hope we had a nice crowd last night. I think Saturday, you know, Fridays are tough for indie wrestling. I think tonight we're going to have a nice crowd. I've got something to prove personally. I won last night. It wasn't the way that I feel I should have won. I felt off. But tonight, I hope I'm on. I hope I'm on against Gunner. And I can't thank you guys enough for coming and supporting the show. And
looks like we may have a visitor here.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, sir?
Mike. Patrick.
Patrick.
Yes.
All right.
How you doing?
Good. So we talked to your opponent tonight, Nace Rockwell. I understand you've beaten him 3 times. He's hoping fourth time is the charm for him. Do you think this is going to be his night?
You know what? And anytime you go into a match, I don't put my opponent down, especially Ace Rockwell. I've wrestled him 3 times, as you guys know. We did a match, one of our favorites in 08. It was almost a 30-minute match where we were just tooth and nail with each other. You know, one of my favorite wrestling matches I've been in, period. I do not ever count him out. He's always in tip-top shape. He always trains hard. But every match I go into, I expect myself to win. I expect myself to be the best. Like, I have this thing. I say I'm the number one unsigned talent right now on the indie scene. And that's huge, because you got to look at the talent that we have here tonight. There's so much good talent. But, you know, I'd never count Ace Rockwell out. Something might happen where I might slip and he might get the Ace Crusher. He might get a victory somehow, roll-ups. But
all it takes is a moment, right?
It is. All it takes is a moment. But this squared circle right here is my battleground. I was in the Marine Corps. I know what real war is like. So I try to get that mentality when I come through the curtain. And I take that into this ring. And it's a fight for me, because I want to be the best. So tonight, you're going to see two friends get in the ring, go at it. And at the end, I'm sure whoever goes, you know, whoever wins, go shake hands, man.
Now, one thing I want to bring up, because, you know, you were in TNA for a while. And I would say from them you were there, my favorite time was 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
When you were working with James Storm. I thought that was my favorite time seeing you there. But once I learned, you know, you left the company, I felt like, wow, now I'm going to get to see more of him than I did before. Maybe I'll see him now in Georgia, because I know you've been here before, but I didn't really follow the independence much then.
Right. Independent career. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, so my thing is, like, are you excited about that? Being able to come back to do more independent shows and being able to be around more people and I'm sure the fan, you know, and see the fans and have those fan interactions that maybe you weren't getting as much when you were at, you know, in Orlando.
Right. No, and I was, like, you mentioned 2013, 2014, when me and Magnus main evented at Manchester and James Storm turned on me. We did the big feud. It was a moment where the TNA was giving me that shove, and all of a sudden they kind of jerked the curtain out from under me. And for 6 years, they gave me a job. I had many great moments, many good matches. I felt like I was underused so much. But you mentioned coming back to the independent scene, and I lived in Georgia for 2 years, 06 to 08, with working at NWA Anarchy and all that stuff. I love Georgia scene. I love the fans. I love the guys. And it's always fun to come to Independence, because, like, you know, when you're with TNA, you were held back so much. I was held back so much. And I could come here, and instead of having a 6-minute TV match, I can wrestle a 30-minute match if I want to. And I can do that, and a lot of people don't know it until they see it. So, yeah, man, being able to come out, do what I want right now. Like, I'm happy. For 6 months before I left Impact, I was miserable. Now I'm back to where I can have fun, enjoy my job.
You know, guys like you coming back down and working the indies is good for the indies as a whole, too. We were having a conversation that we recorded on the way up here about it's almost a sliding scale that you'll see a guy in the main event on TV, and sometimes you think, like, well, where did this guy came from? ROH, and you start looking into ROH, and then, oh, this guy came from PWG. Then you go down, you look at PWG, and you figure, oh, this guy came from my local hometown. Let me see the show in my local hometown. So when you have a guy and you think, oh, my God, I saw Gunner on TV, TV, and now he's wrestling at Empire, he's wrestling in my town, I can go see that, then that's a draw into all these indie shows that you're going
to
work.
Definitely, man. And it, like, I've been to Empire, it's been 2 or 3 years ago, I think, but I love these little buildings. Yes, it's hot as crap in here. But
Georgia in
it
August,
is.
So
it
anywhere
is.
You go.
But even last night, I mean, it was hot. It was brutal. You know, they had 8 matches, a couple hundred fans, but they stayed alive the whole time.
Yeah.
And it is Georgia, and but I'm very excited about being at Empire again. Talent here is tremendous. Me and Ace Rockwell tonight, another classic I already predicted. So.
Absolutely. Well, we're definitely looking forward to it, and I know that you're going to give us a great show, and we're glad to meet you and talk to you, and hopefully we'll get to talk again someday.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Best of luck in the ring.
Enjoy the show, man.
Thank you. And now we have our friend Chip there. How are you, sir?
Good.
Well, I was going to wear the shirt, and I saw you had one year night in the tournament last night. I didn't think you were going to be on the card, man.
Yeah, no.
Sorry to see
you. I'm here. It's all good.
He's a professional, right?
Right.
I got to come.
Absolutely.
I had to be here both nights.
I mean, any night we get to see you in the ring, man, it's worth the ticket price, in my opinion.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys just coming to do a podcast tonight, or what?
Yeah, we're actually recording.
Okay, cool.
Literally doing it right now.
Okay, you are.
I don't want to be.
I don't talk like this in normal conversation. This is my podcast mode, right?
You know,
here.
We are professionals here at FLW Radio.
I got to say, there was a lot of you had a lot of big talk talking to Patrick at the last AWE show we recorded with you. And what happened last night, man? What happened in the ring, brother?
I guess I underestimated Gunnar Miller's spirit. He can fight. I've got a knot on the side of my head right here from a right hand.
Oh, wow.
It's like it hurts to yawn.
Wow.
It hurts to eat. But yeah, man, I guess what happened in the end was I went up top and I got cocky and he was standing on his feet and I came off for double knees and he speared me right out of midair. It was disgusting.
Didn't see that coming.
No, not at all. It was gross. But that, yeah, man, it happens. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in like an 8-man tag tonight, so I'm just gonna go out here and try and put on a good show for everybody.
Right.
Have a good night. Hopefully keep this knee at least at like 85% like it is.
Yeah,
right,
how's that
now.
Knee treating so you after that?
It's okay.
After that match.
It's all right.
It looked like it was a rough night in there.
It was the same thing that happened back in like May where I just, as soon as that drop kick happened, I guess I like extended too much.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't put any weight on it at all. Like my knee just locked out.
Probably
completely.
Pulled something in there.
Yeah, it just locked out completely, and like I had to stretch it, and I've been rolling it out with like a foam roller. I've been seeing massage therapist for like the last week or so it's
Well, Chip, I gotta ask did you have a conversation with Adrian following that match? I mean, did you guys patch it up, or what's
he came
what's
to the back and he was pretty beat up, and like,
I mean we watched that execution of Adrian Armour.
that was
15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I sent Cy to help him, and then like, you know, Berg hit him in the dick.
Yeah,
so like it happens, I guess, but
they
like,
got their own thing they gotta work out.
Yeah, that's gonna be something to watch in the next couple months too, man. But like, yeah, I talked to Adrian and like he saw that I couldn't put any weight on my legs, so he wasn't too angry, but at the same time, like, I get where other times I would have fought, like, stayed out there and at least tried. But man, like, I'm dealing with a nagging injury and I'm, you know, what I feel, a stitch away from making it, and I'm not going to risk any further injury to myself. It's not smart business.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, we weren't able to be here for night one last night, but we heard it was a hot crowd,
man,
and a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're expecting an even bigger crowd tonight, you know, Saturday night.
I hope so.
And not only that, but, you know, you're wrestling again. How's this weekend been for you here in Empire and the CDC Invitational?
Man, last night was proof that the South is ready for that tournament-type atmosphere. There's a market for it. You've got die-hard, hardcore fans that want to see good professional wrestling. I saw it in February at Ring of Honor. There were 1,000 people at Ring of Honor that wanted to see good, hard-hitting professional wrestling.
And I bet there's an even, I mean, Ring of Honor's coming back here in a couple of weeks. I bet there's an even bigger crowd for that.
Yeah, oh, probably so.
And it's not like they're packing a big stadium, but people are going to a little fairground trade center.
That's all it is.
It's not
a huge building at all. No, I could walk around that thing in 10 minutes and get to know it, you know? So, like, I'm it goes to show that professional wrestling in the South is not dead. And I was watching some footage, a show on the network, and it was the importance. Michael Hayes, it was about Southern wrestling, like starting out, and like Michael Hayes said, Southern independent professional wrestling is and always will be the lifeblood of professional wrestling business. And I thought that was something that everybody in the business in the South needs to take to heart, because there's no truer words that can be spoken about that. So,
you know, I remember me and Josh Wheeler having a conversation, I think at the first AWE show I came to, that I couldn't understand why is there not an ROH or PWG level promotion operating in the South.
That
has a Southern identity and a Southern style that we can really rally behind.
But,
and,
like, you see that.
I mean, this is the graveyard of WCW. I feel like it's fertile ground down here.
Yep.
Do you think we're on the verge of anything like that? Or do you
I think it's been slash and burn cropping, for lack of a better term. WCW had to be burned.
Yeah.
It had to go, because, I mean, let's face it, while we all loved WCW growing up in the South.
We did.
While we all loved it.
I was a WCW.
Let's not forget RoboCop.
Right.
And the Yeti.
Right.
And
the Yeti.
And, like, well.
Finger Poke of Doom.
Yeah, and the Ding Dongs. There would have been hunchbacks if they allowed it.
And everybody's favorite gimmick, the Shockmaster.
Right.
I mean, Shockmaster. But, like, yeah, man, like, it had to be that we, just like the Civil War, I guess, the wrestling business in the South had to be burned to the ground in order to be resurrected.
I've often made a similar comparison, just in terms of the Southern identity of almost the South being a place where we almost succeed, but in the end we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what that, and there is, I don't want to make this comparison, but like for a long time in the South, it was like the South will rise again, and we will. And I wonder if in wrestling, I mean, the South is going to rise again. I feel like there's fertile ground down here that we're going to see a resurgence of indie wrestling here in the South.
I think that's what we're seeing. In the ashes of WCW, we've seen great companies like PWX, who is on fire right now in the Carolinas.
I wanted to drive out there for Superkick World, and I couldn't make the trip.
Man, I understand.
I was working the details.
Hard trip.
All right, it's a 4-hour drive. I can do if I leave at this time, and then I'll get back at this time, and I just couldn't make it work.
You got
that card looked amazing.
It was a really good card, man. Yeah. The Young Bucks tore it down, but like,
I know.
PWX came out of the Carolinas, so I guess like that could be like your new Mid-Atlantic territory, right? So, and I think that's what we're all transitioning back to, ultimately, is territory systems, because you've got your Florida now, which is obviously NXT.
Right.
And everybody wanted to go work in Florida back in the day because it was warm, there's no winter.
Right.
It's just gorgeous all the time, so that's where you want to be.
You got PWG out west, you got ROH up north, and you know, ROH travels around, obviously.
You got Wildcat and Reality of Wrestling in Texas, that could be in Texas territory, so like, George is ready, and I think AWE is going to lead that revival of Southern wrestling.
Is that the new GCW?
I think so. Here's my thoughts on it.
The South is all about pride and tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Tradition is
obviously
huge.
With all this ruckus going on lately.
I think, though, my thoughts on this is that everybody plants the seeds, but they're expecting immediate results.
Oh, they want instant gratification.
They want to be
in the days of iPads and iPhones and fast food. We want everything
now. Our coffee made exactly the way we want.
Nobody has patience to let things grow, man.
That's why I appreciate somebody like Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, who's actually going through it and sticking through, you know, the rough patches.
You're gonna have growing pains,
right?
You gotta stick it out,
right? And that's the thing. Nobody really sticks it out to see it grow to what it could be.
Mm-hmm. And you know what that is? That's the difference between who has balls and who doesn't.
Right, right.
People who chase their dreams and want to go live their dreams, they got balls.
Yeah.
People that just want to sit at a desk job and be like, oh, I could have done this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is the South's got balls, and I think the rest of the world's finding that out right now, too.
I think so, too. Well, you know, I mean, you just think about guys like Dusty that came out of the South, and were kind of our heroes, you know, and he wasn't chiseled out of marble, you know, he didn't fit anybody's mold.
No. Nope.
But he was the South, and he was ours, you know, and we're going to, as wrestling fans, we're going to benefit from his influence in the business for decades
to come. For sure.
In a way
way that just few guys have had that level of influence.
And a big Dusty quote that comes full circle with the whole sticking it out thing.
Yeah.
I saw Cody, or Stardust, saw him put a picture up, and I think you probably saw it too, of Dusty's boots in a locker, and it said, finish what you start, kid.
Yeah.
Nobody does that anymore.
Right. That's right.
Finish what you start. Otherwise, you can't just put a book down.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely appreciate you're doing it. You know your body, I'm sure, aches, you know, just at every part, but you know, you're still sticking at it and you're doing it, and we definitely appreciate that. And
Chip, let me throw this in too. You and Murder One, man, that thing's been going on for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Between you and Murder, you know, me and Murder have had a little beef between us ourselves lately. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna tell you this, next time you're in the ring with him, if you need a little backup, you know, if you need a low blow, if you need anything, you just
you
throw me the nod, I'll be right in there.
You got
all right?
It. You got it, man. And there's a picture that's been floating around on Instagram where it looks like me and him are talking business at a club.
I saw that, yeah.
He approached me while I was out trying to do some promotion for the season 2 premiere. I was at Quad. They had a party, and he approached me trying to talk a whole bunch of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I just wanted to get that story out, just so if there's any thoughts in anybody's head, I don't want them playing into their own insecurities and what they think's going on.
Well, you wonder where that picture came from. I mean, was Murder behind that picture?
I think
there might have been.
I wouldn't put anything past it.
I think there might have been somebody by the initials of PK in the club that night too.
Possibly.
So who knows, man? She's
doing hood rat stuff with her friends, apparently. The Priscilla Kelly.
Man, I'm Southern. You know, I don't know about putting my hands on a woman. I don't know if I like that, but I'll tell you what, man. Next time you're in there with Murder, man, if you need a little backup, you throw me the nod. I'll be there.
I got you, man.
I got your back.
All right.
Well, we wish you good luck in the match tonight, and we're looking forward to next Sunday to hear an update on your injury and status of everything.
I'm supposed to go to a follow up this week, so they'll definitely have news next weekend.
We're all pulling for you.
I appreciate it. I feel about 85%, but we'll have a definite by next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Talk to us, brother.
Thanks, guys.
So they're about to open the doors for the VIPs to come in, and so
clearing the ringside area right now. We've seen Moose walking around here, Jimmy Rave walking around here. Starting to play the music. We're just about to pop off here in Rossville.
Yeah. So I will talk to you guys again after the show, and you know, keep living through it, either
sometime in the middle of the show or after the show, we'll be back and tell you guys how it's going.
Absolutely. So make sure you stay tuned. Okay, we just saw the finish of the Scenic Scene Invitational, and we are here with
the climax of the Invitational. Our voices are gone, our throats are raw. We're here with Scott Hensley.
And Scott, what a great show. Your thoughts, two great nights, a lot of great pro wrestling, a fantastic crowd. Was this everything that you imagined it'd be?
Oh, it absolutely was. The guys gave 110%. They were out there just giving everything and more for a hot crowd. They really brought it. They impressed me. They worked hard in every single match to try to pick up that victory. Jimmy Rave got the victory. Jimmy Rave, I mean, clearly one of, if not the best wrestler in the state of Georgia. And it pains me to say that at times because he can be so, like, dastardly and cunning. And
it doesn't pain you to say it any more than it pains me to think it. I have a hard time getting behind Jimmy Rave.
And he
deserved this one.
His attitude sometimes. But, you know, he thinks he's really good, and he's every bit as good as he thinks he is.
That's what's so infuriating about it. He's that good.
It really is. But we saw a lot of just standout performances from guys like Jason Collins, from guys like Corey Hollis, who have, you know, some have made impacts on a national level, potentially international soon. I mean, you have Kongo Kong in there defeating Ring of Honor star Moose. I mean, what a huge victory there.
Absolutely.
Two giants colliding in the ring, and on night one, Kongo Kong knocked off the Strong Style Psycho and the hometown hero Tank. I mean, he really surprised me. He's going to go on and do some big things, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Scott, tell us, too, this was obviously a great couple of nights of pro wrestling, but this is also an opportunity to raise some money for a local legend, isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. On night one, we actually did raise some money for referee Graham Long, whose wife gave birth to a daughter with spina bifida, and the crowd actually raised $194 for referee Graham Long. He's a good friend of mine, lives in the Nashville area now, but is soon moving to Arizona, so we got him just in time. But as you mentioned, the local legend himself, Bigwood the Lumberjack, Greg Hollander, who we actually named the trophy after, we were able to once again raise money for him, and we gave the fans a unique opportunity because we had a 50-50 donation drawing, and 50% of the pot, fans bought tickets and the money went into a pot, so 50% of that pot automatically went to Greg Hollander. But then the other 50% actually did go to the fan, and they had the opportunity to donate that or keep it, but if they donated, they got a huge prize pack, including an autographed Shawn Michaels autobiography, some DVDs, all kinds of different things, and the fan did donate, so we were able to give the full amount to Greg Hollander tonight.
Absolutely, and Greg Hollander, like you mentioned, a big legend, a man who many say is responsible for pro wrestling here in this Scenic City area. Great cause, and we get to look forward to next year. Who knows what to expect? I mean, you set the bar high, and we're looking forward to it, and thank you for inviting us and for having us and for giving us a chance to have a really great time this weekend. We look forward to next year, and definitely you're welcome on the show anytime, Scott.
Thank you so much. I look forward to going to Mucha Lucha with you.
Absolutely. We'll be there. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, here we are in the car on the way back home.
The return trip.
Yes.
The return wrestling road trip from Rossville.
And that was a lot of ours there, but, you know.
Never have too many.
Hey, your thoughts, Mike.
Oh, man.
Show.
You know, the show was great. I really wish that everybody that listened to this podcast could have been there with us. The card definitely had everything. It had, you know, what were clearly the hometown heroes. It had big names that you might have seen on TV. It's a different experience going to a small town show like that. You'll have these wee little kids sitting next to you that are just chanting the whole night and are so into it, and like the heels are gonna come over and get in their face, and it's just there's nothing else quite like it. I think, like, if you're a music fan, like, everybody likes music, but if you're the kind of, like, person that goes to a ton of concerts and you love finding the bands that are unsigned that nobody knows about, and you like going to the open mics at dive bars and, you know, seeing where the talent is, and, you know, if you are, you know, if you're any kind of a fan of anything and you go to, like, these, you'll look at these obscure places to find the things that nobody knows about yet. If you're a wrestling fan, why on earth wouldn't you go to a small town and go to a local show and look for the talent, man? It's, to me, it's the same thing. It's going to where, you know, you may be a fan of what you see on TV, but it's about going to the roots of all that, going down the ladder to see what's going on in your own area. I mean, there's nothing else like it. I think every wrestling fan ought to do it. You don't have to take a big road trip like Patrick and I have. You know, there's probably a promotion in your town or in your city, and I think we all need to, when we can, get out there and support independent wrestling. We need to, you know, need to help these promotions. We need to see where the talent is that we're going to see at WrestleMania one day. It's nothing else quite like it. You know, buy a T-shirt, buy a DVD, buy a hot dog. I guarantee, you know, you find a good promotion, you're going to get your money's worth every time. Patrick, what are your thoughts?
Man, I think, you know, I mean, keep in mind, this is day two, right, of this tournament. And the fans have already gone through one night of, from what we hear, officially, we missed the first night, but a great show, a great crowd, everything was awesome. So,
you know, Patrick, I know I'm rambling too, but it's like my voice is shot, my mind is slow and everything, because I have the exhaustion right now of seeing something really, really entertaining.
Absolutely.
You know, the whole way through, and the excitement and the drama and screaming at the top of my lungs and chanting, and now your mind just sort of like detoxes and you just feel exhausted because you've been thoroughly entertained all night.
Right. So going after one night, we come to night two, and man, we get, you know, what, six in the one-on-one matches, loving every minute from beginning to end. I think
very hot crowd all night.
It was a good pace, and that's what you enjoy about wrestling shows. It's something that, you know, when you have quality wrestling and, you know, you put the right people in the right place and have the right stories, 3 hours is good. But when, you know, when you watch on TV, 3 hours, I mean, halfway into it, you're yawning, you're getting tired. You're hoping for it to be over. So
Adam Rose comes out, you go and get a drink, you know.
Right. Or recently, the Divas came in.
The Divas used to be the refill match, but now.
So, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how many people there were in this place. I would say, man, it was close to 200.
Easily, between 150 and 200, easily.
And, man, they knew, they loved the wrestlers they did. They hated the ones they did. And fantastic job. The wrestlers telling their stories, you know, playing the roles to a T. I think they were absolutely on point, not only with each other, but also playing to the crowd, whether they were babyface or they were heels. And man, we saw some things. Congo Kong, that man is that beast is,
man,
an agile, huge man.
Congo Kong, man. I don't know if he's got footage on YouTube or if he's got a Facebook page or something, but man, look into Congo Kong. This guy is nearly 400 pounds. He's got to be close to 7 feet tall. He's absolutely a super heavyweight, and he's throwing moonsaults and power bombs. If you saw we saw head scissors from this guy. There's nothing else like it, man. When you're sitting right at ringside, right behind the barricade, and he goes, you know, he goes falling backwards over the top rope in your direction, your life flashes before your eyes, and you breathe a deep sigh of relief when he grabs the rope and his boots hit the floor and he's not landing on top of you.
Yes, absolutely. So I loved it. You know, I was able to be a fan, you know, and just enjoy a great show. And that's all I want. So I wanted to be able to be a fan who just, you know, who can see the guys just come in and make me feel like I'm watching something that's real and entertaining.
You know, I one time, me and an ex-girlfriend took a road trip, and we took a road trip for 3 or 4 days to see my favorite musician. He was playing 3 dates. He was playing Nashville, Atlanta, and Athens, which is a small college town in Georgia. And we took 3 or 4 days and basically went to all of these shows and kind of followed him on tour. And I remember her saying to me, her pointing out how cool it was to, you know, to take a few days and to get away from your job and to get away from your life and for a little bit of time just to be a fan, to just be nothing but a fan for a little stretch of time. And I always remember that, and I always think about that if I'm going to a wrestling show, or if I'm, you know, if it's like WrestleMania weekend and I'm just thinking wrestling all the time. And I just think about how good it is sometimes to get away from the grind, to get away from your job, to get away from your responsibilities, and just for a little chunk of time, just be nothing but a fan of whatever it is that you love. And I think that's something we all need from time to time. And, you know, if the wrestling is good, then, you know, and the ticket's worth the price, then, man, you know, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than just being a fan and being thoroughly rewarded for your, you know, with your entertainment.
Absolutely. So, with that in mind, what were some of your highlights?
You know, I gotta tell you, this is a little out of the box, but I mean, the highlight of the night, when Scott was telling us about the money that they were able to raise for the local legend in the Scenic City area, and about the fan who won the raffle and decided to donate his half of the raffle winnings to donate them. That was I don't think we talked about this when we talked to Scott about it. That was a little kid that won the raffle that was sitting right next to us. And this kid loved this little promotion. He loved. He knew all the wrestlers that came out. He knew all their entrance music, all their high spots. This was his local hometown promotion. He was a huge fan. And to see this little kid decide to donate the raffle winnings that he won, that was probably the highlight of the night to me. And then for the crowd to clap and cheer for him, and all the high fives and fist bumps he got as he came back to his seat, to kind of see for a second that pro wrestling at its very, very best can be a force for good. When you see John Cena, you know, granting wishes to the sick kids, and you see the charitable work the guys can do, and you see even in this small town promotion, 7 or 8 miles, you know, outside of Chattanooga, to see them also being able to be a force for good in the life of someone that, you know, that has some medical expenses they need covered, That's really gratifying to me. Wrestling at its very best can be a force for good. And, you know, at its very worst, it's entertaining. Isn't that what it's all about? You know, isn't that what it's all about anyway?
Absolutely.
How about you, Patrick? What was the highlight of the night for you?
Well, I had a couple of highlights. First, it was, to me, just... As I mentioned, Kongo Kong.
Yeah.
Goodness me,
that was just eye-opening. You see that match with Moose?
Yes.
There was that moment in that match with Moose where Moose is trying to get Kongo up on his shoulders, and he's trying to basically get him in a fireman's carry, and he can't do it. He can't, like, hoist Kongo and get him centered so he can get, you know, the weight right so he can stand up with him. And we saw him struggle under the weight for a couple of moments as he desperately tries to shift him around and get him centered on his shoulders. And I looked at you and I said, Moose almost didn't have that. And you said something about, like, yeah, that looked really real. And it's like, well, yeah, it looks real when it is real.
Right.
Nothing looks real than reality.
Absolutely. And so Kongo Kong, I mean, that moonsault.
Man, the building shook with that moonsault.
I mean, and there was a point where he, like, got close on at the ring towards us, and I saw my life flashing before my
eyes. Oh, yeah. That was when he was falling backwards over the top rope.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Could have gone bad for everybody.
I mean, there was a lot going on. Another thing, and you know, you can tell me what your thoughts on this, is Jimmy Rave pulling a fast one on Gunnar Miller.
Oh, man.
Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah. I think it's Gunnar Miller.
Gunnar Miller?
Gunnar Miller.
Yeah. Gunnar Miller. There you go.
Gunnar Miller.
Oh, Gunnar Miller.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Man, that was great. So what happened is it was the one of the semifinals matches, and it's Jimmy versus the hometown hero in Gunnar Miller, the hometown hero of this promotion, and they wrestle for a few minutes. They wrestle a decent match. You know, it's Jimmy running away, and Jimmy, you know, kind of being very, very strategic in that. And so there was some kind of a corner bump, and Jimmy goes down and he's grabbing at his neck, and Gunnar's trying to pull him into the middle of the ring, and Jimmy is just, like, dead weight. And so the referee, you know, separates him and gets down, and he throws up the X with his arms, and, like, other wrestlers, like, dressed in just in regular clothes and their gym shorts come running out to the ring, and, like, the whole crowd falls silent. Everybody's like, oh, my God, what happened to Jimmy? Is it his neck? Is he okay? And you see the promoter comes running out and the ring announcer, and you see, I mean...
You saw everybody.
You saw everybody's coming out. Everybody's gathering around Jimmy, and the referee is freaking out, the whole crowd, everybody in the room is like, oh, my God, is Jimmy okay? And they start to pull Jimmy up to kind of try to get him to the back. And Jimmy just breaks free and runs over and small packages Gunnar Miller and gets the 3 count. And everybody that came out to the ring to see if he's okay, like, chases him out of the arena. Jimmy's got to go over the barricade and run out the back of the building. I was so convinced it was real.
He played it fantastic.
I was convinced it was real to the degree that when he broke free and went after Gunnar Miller, I popped. I came out of my seat screaming to the top of my lungs because I was so impressed because I was completely into it.
Right. But not only that, Jimmy, and then the other thing was, now Jimmy went from being at that moment the most hated guy in that building. By the end of the night, he was the most loved.
Absolutely. The whole crowd is cheering for him. You deserve it, everybody.
It's like, you know, he got, you know, of course, he won the tournament.
Yes.
He got the trophy. But you know what? It wasn't your typical Jimmy rave.
No, it wasn't.
Corey Hollis was able, you know, pick up the mic and just, you know, just a heartfelt, you know, message from that about what he felt about Jimmy rave. You know, and then Jimmy just taking the mic, and he could have said, "Yeah, I'm the best. You guys suck," and left. But no, I mean, I think, you know, he also spoke from his heart, and you know, they were the thank you, Jimmy, chants.
Yeah.
He just, and you could tell that it meant something to him, and then calling out all the wrestlers. And
yeah. The locker room comes out at the end of the tournament and gathers around the ring, and Jimmy puts everybody over. He puts over the production staff and the referees and the officials and everybody, and the whole crowd is cheering. I mean, what a way to end 2 days of fantastic pro wrestling at the inaugural Scenic City Invitational.
Absolutely. And then another thing that you mentioned, another big moment was the fact what this night was, this tournament was all about, and it was a trophy. It was the Greg Hollander Trophy.
Yes.
You know, as people in the Scenic City area call him, Big Wood. You know, a legend in that area. Someone who many people say is responsible for training people, for putting, you know, the wrestling,
kind of a father of pro wrestling, right, in the North Georgia, Tennessee area.
So it was cool to see just the fact that, you know, they named the trophy after him. They were able to raise money for his operation that he's having, and I don't know. I thought that was a really cool thing as well.
Definitely, definitely. So here we are. Back on the highway, headed back home from the Scenic City, back to Metro Atlanta.
To Kennesaw.
Back to Kennesaw. Georgia. Kennesaw. You know, our throats are raw, our voices are shot, we're exhausted, we're sweaty, we're, you know, what a great thing it is to be able to just take an afternoon, take an evening, and head out into the mountains or into the country or into the backwoods or wherever it is, and find really, really good pro wrestling.
Yes.
Wherever it happens to be hidden away.
Yes. And before we do say goodbye, I also want to give big props and a thank you to Empire Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
For their hospitality.
So welcoming to us.
And what a great arena they have there. Setup.
By far the best facility, the best production values in all of Georgia for what I've seen at Empire Pro Wrestling. Big thanks to Ace Rockwell, to Gunner, to Chip Day for talking to us. Hopefully all that audio is good.
Yes.
Because we're experimenting with some new mobile recording technology for this episode.
So thank you to Empire Pro Wrestling. Everybody, make sure you follow them on Facebook. Check out, if you're in the area, check out their shows are on Saturday nights. And you can get more information on Facebook. Also on their website, empirewrestling.net. And again, once again, also thank you to Scott Hensley.
Yes.
For, you know, help put this thing together.
Scott really opened a lot of doors for us to be able to record this episode, have the access that we did.
Yes.
The organizer of this invitational, and just what a great guy he was.
Absolutely. So, and with that, that's Mike Williams. I am Patrick Alvarez. You can find, don't forget, us, FOW Radio, on Twitter at FOW Radio. Subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, TuneIn Radio. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.